The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tastytrade Inc. is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer and David Faber. We're coming off three straight wins for the Dow. Futures are steady. S&P within 1% of a record close. Bond yields are helping. The 10-year did fall below 159, the lowest since May 11. And S&P Case-Shiller home prices are out. 13.2 jump in March compared to a year ago. Our roadmap starts with the muted market melt-up led by technology shares and some reopening plays today. Bitcoin and crypto are stabilizing.
Plus, Amazon's movie play, the tech giant said to be nearing its second largest ever acquisition, looking to buy Hollywood studio MGM. And up to 10 new U.S. chip factories. The Biden administration says that's the goal from its proposed $52 billion boost in federal funding for semiconductors. Carl.
All right, guys. Interesting market action to watch, Jim. We talked about crypto with, I guess, relative stabilization here compared to the last couple of weeks. But even the Nasdaq was able to get back above the 50-day. I wonder, can we start to breathe a sigh of relief?
Well, I think that it may disappoint all those who want to bury FANG for the 4 millionth time. But FANG is very back. And I think it's led by Facebook this time. Alphabet had a very, very big move. Amazon, well, I'm sure David's going to talk about the capital destruction that could be MGM Grand. But the one that I want to talk about for a moment is Apple. Everyone buried Apple. Tim Cook being out testifying. It looked like they were out. Tony Saganegi came on. I think Tony said that, you know, Apple, there's no real catalyst. Is he? That's his rap now. There's no catalyst. Well, to me, here's the catalyst. They're doing really well. So I am tired of people who continue to recommend stocks that aren't doing well and instead aren't focusing on the big ones that are amazing, including Facebook. I will give, just so we know, I was reading Frank Slootman's book last night on Snowflake. I know it's expensive, David, but Snowflake will be king.
What's the book about?
It's about data, not big data. It's about how you simply got to take your stuff out of the on-premise, give it right to him. And you can analyze it very easily. You do it by the minute. You don't just say, hey, listen, I'm going to pay $1 million. No, it's a kind of a you use it and then you pay more.
Right, so you start the show with positive thoughts about Apple, Facebook and the
Snowflake.
High multiple Snowflake, although not nearly as high as it
well,
was.
Well, I was going to talk about the need to be able to regulate Bitcoin.
Well, we are going to get to that, I'm sure.
You are?
Yeah, not a show goes by that we don't have to talk.
It's a little untethered.
Have to, that
it's
we
a
don't
little
talk
untethered.
About Bitcoin and other cryptos.
David, yeah. This because Bitcoin is of more fascination to our viewers than anything we can talk about, including AT&T Time Warner.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about that.
Well, our older viewers, the octogenarians, were counting on Stanky to not hurt them. But, you know, their comorbidity, Stanky, it's all one.
And there's Bitcoin. I know you've been doing a lot of work on it lately.
I sure have. I want to know what it's backed by.
Today.
I'm all over Coinbase today.
Okay.
Some recommendations.
Yeah.
Coinbase has not been as performing as well as some of us would like. There's a chart. Wow. That's the other side of K2, one of the most dangerous mountains in the world on the way down.
Ooh, it's 100 points.
Yes. David, but I am tired of not knowing as much as we need to know. We wing it every day. No more winging.
I'm glad to hear that. And I hope you'll impart some of that newfound knowledge to me.
Oh, yeah.
Or Carl, you
actually,
can
it's
well.
All I care about right now. It reminds me of when I decided at college that I was only going to study Martin Luther and what it meant, what Martin Luther did.
Mm-hmm.
Took a whole year on Martin Luther. And then I took a whole year on Tolstoy.
That was an important turning point in a lot of things, Martin Luther.
Yeah, absolutely.
Creation of Protestantism, yeah.
Right.
Right?
Reformation was one of the most important things that's happened. All right, that's neither here nor there. I care more about whether the Raytheon is going to go to S90. I'm working on Boeing orders, David. Look out. Max me.
All right, Carl, you heard it. Apple's looking good. Boeing.
Yep.
Max you? I don't know.
That's great. That's great. I had a Reformation segue ready anyway, so I'm glad that came up so early in the show.
I know. I kind of threw us off.
The past 24 hours for crypto has been remarkable. We got comments from Dalio, of course, the tweet from Elon Musk, and this meeting with the miners trying to get them to improve some of their renewable efforts. JP Morgan's got a chart looking at the unwind compared to the 2018 correction, and they say it looks eerily similar. Their words are, this should caution any view that the worst is nearly behind us.
Oh, okay. There, I feel better. Don't forget, tomorrow, NVIDIA reports. They have a card meant for Ethereum. It is not important, but the stock has been trading once again, Carl, on Ethereum, which is completely moronic. David, I have to tell you, I've done some work.
Okay.
Just because, you know, what happened in the UK is not the end. Okay? It's not
the
end.
We're talking NVIDIA now. Is that what you're talking about? Okay, I just want to make sure we keep track.
David, if you're going to ask me to be linear, you got the wrong guy.
We've been working together for a very long time.
The UK government has not signaled its opposition to the deal. In early April, the UK government asked the UK's competition authority, the CMA, to open an inquiry into the deal to assess whether it might create national security or competition issues. That always happens, David. The opening of the investigation does not prejudge the outcome of that investigation. Okay?
Right.
So, Peacefield, shared of Peacefield.
Yes, I'm aware that NVIDIA is pushing that. I know.
How did you know it was from NVIDIA?
Because you think you and I don't get the same emails from the same people?
I thought that it was a secret.
No, it wasn't a secret email.
Secret source.
Yeah. But listen, it's important to know. And that's why NVIDIA continues to believe and is confident that they will get the deal through that. Of course, Arm Holdings, which is a very important transaction for them and for the broader industry as well.
This game's hit match if they get it. You know that.
Well, that's why they may not. And that's why a lot of people still believe that they will face impediments from the UK and or from China's antitrust regulator, despite the fact that they did successfully get the Mellanox deal through. It took quite a while, but they did with Samurai.
How have people done betting against Jensen Huang? How have they done just
not
in general?
Not well.
Name me someone who bet against Jensen Huang.
Put up a 10-year NVIDIA and you can see how they've done.
Yeah. Name me someone. I mean, do you know that Elon Musk?
Yeah.
You know, they were one time making chips for.
So Musk versus Jensen Huang?
Go with Huang.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
One's a rigorous, brilliant, Da Vinci-like man who wears a black leather coat.
There it is. That's what you get if
And the other guy is an erratic maker of technology deliveries.
Right.
You heard it on Saturday Night Live. You heard it. Where he said basically that he was not. What are you looking at?
Trying to see the percentage in the corner. Is that thousands or?
Carl, why we try to figure out whether David needs 3,000, to go to an eye doctor?
I don't. I have 20/20. That's incredibly small. It's you can't tell if it's four threes or three threes, but it's four. Okay.
There you go, Carl. That
Jim,
solves.
I knew what you were referring to.
Yeah.
You were referring to the moment where he said, did you all think I was going to be a chill, normal dude?
Right. But you never hear that from Jensen. Jensen is a chill, normal dude who inspires thousands of people and does it in an uplifting fashion, never critical, never erratic, and, David, never mean.
It's nice not to be mean. Unlike Twitter. A lot of mean people on Twitter. Just
you
looking
discovered
right now.
That?
Yeah.
My PT trainer this morning said you are the most hated person on Twitter.
No, I think that's probably not a bit of an exaggeration.
No, I am the most hated person.
But you might be
on
in the top 10.
I think I am in the top 10. Yeah. I've gone to Steven Seagal, Ned Siegel,
yes.
The CFO, and said, listen, is there anything I can do? I will pay $100 a week for a concierge service just to block it. AI. Carl,
just
to find all the people who hate me, they do not have that AI. Instead, people are telling me to go to LinkedIn and go to the kinder, gentler Mark Zuckerberg product.
we need an algorithm that can find users who hate you, who maybe don't realize it yet, and so you can block them in advance.
Right. I mean, if you have a kernel in your cerebellum that says you hate me, believe me, that is going to be lasered out. Just as if it might be a wart on your forehead.
They should find those people and shock them before they actually are able
to complete
their tweet.
Yeah, like that Yale study where you shock the mouse.
Right.
But a mouse would be too nice a term for these people.
Okay, well, let's move on from there, guys, to another big technology
company. Are you going to hit us
No,
with Amazon?
Yeah, we're going to talk Amazon. We're going to talk this potential MGM deal. which now, again, this is reporting of many others, but could be close to $9 billion. We still haven't seen the deal itself. You can take a look at Amazon stock price. It may very well not have much of an impact at all, of course, on a company that starts with trillion when you talk about its market value. In fact, 1.6 trillion to be exact. But it is getting closer to this deal. The only thing I can share is if they, in fact, do print something close to $9 billion, that is going to be so far above at least the potential price that other suitors might have been willing to entertain.
What's the cover bid?
I don't even know that there is going to be a cover bid, but I have spoken to some other very senior executives at other major companies that might have or had actually taken a look at it, not might have. And they were hard pressed to come to get to $6
billion. Six?
Yeah, six. Where, by the way, there might have been some synergy. So you're talking a price that might be as much as 50% above what was looked like the higher price that at least two different people at companies that would have been expected to have taken a look and did would have been willing to pay.
Well, is this
but you
still
know what? When your cost of
Andy?
Capital is basically this, like, what do you care?
Is it Jeff or Andy?
Zero. What?
Jeff Bezos or is it Andy Jassy?
I don't know.
Driving this.
I don't know.
Because Andy Jassy's not paying $9 billion. He's not paying that big.
Well, their cost of capital is extraordinarily low at Amazon. They do get, you know, access to a deep, fairly deep library. Although, remember, the Broccoli family more or less still controls the Bond movies because they are the ones who can have veto power and make decisions about where they show and how they do and everything else. You get something of Mark Burnett. I'd forgotten that they did a deal way back in 2014.
Do they have
where they acquired 55% and Roma Downey, Mark Burnett, and Hearst Entertainment.
Do they have Trump? Media. Do they have the Trump tapes?
I don't know.
It's like the Frost tapes.
And they got a library that'll help, obviously, their direct-to-consumer offering, which is part of Amazon Prime. Of course, Amazon Prime is not about delivering you media entertainment as much as it is delivering you things same day to your doorstep. But it is part of that service. So we'll see. By the way, if they do get a $9 billion number, guys, I mean, what is Warner worth? Back to 18. Makes that deal look better because the Warner Studios worth
good,
more.
Good, because the 5x leverage actually bothers me.
Or what does Paramount?
Are you bothered by the 5x leverage?
It's just like worth. If you know, I mean, the number here is just far beyond what
I'm
many
going
might
to
have
Carl
anticipated.
About Carl,
if we see when we see it printed, which we haven't yet, because
Carl, unlike David, you actually are an aficionado of pop culture. Is it possible that this is worth more than $9 billion? Given the fact you have Bond, you have James Bond.
Yeah. I'm not going to weigh in, obviously, guys, on the valuation, but I'm sure David would probably agree with me that this has, as everyone has said already, a lot more to do with you subscribing to Prime than going to see Tomorrow Never Dies Again, right?
Right. I guess so. I'm on Amazon Prime pretty constantly, Carl, because it's the way to get to a lot of other things. I probably overpay, but it's a way to get to, say, Line of Duty if you don't have BritBox.
You end up using Amazon even when you don't want to. I tried to patronize a store in my neighborhood for something, and they said, no, just go online.
I mean, really?
Another, yeah. And so you're pushed to Amazon. I mean, this was for another fairly large retailer that has an online presence, but they didn't actually have it in stock. Nobody has anything in stock, so you just go to Amazon anyway. I was like, why didn't I just start there? It would have been delivered already.
Amazon's still well below. It's if you want to make a run there, it's still well below its all-time high.
Yeah, yeah.
Carl, I think these stocks are headed to their all-time high. I think Fang is so back, other than Apple. See, because what happened, Tony Saganay will come on and he's, you know, gives a lukewarm.
Yeah.
I'm a little fixated on that.
I see.
And Dogecoin.
I like
all
that you're fixated on Fang. As for content creators and the continued consolidation we may see if we do see an Amazon MGM deal, remember what John Malone had to say about what's coming here. Take a listen.
I mean, there are some pretty obvious combinations out there that could take place. I noticed the Lionsgate stock has been running lately on the theory that either Brian or Sherry would show an interest in merging those companies, that company, in because of synergy. We're in a evolution of the creative side of the business, and whether you can be small and creative and be a supplier, or whether you got to be part of a vertically owned and integrated structure. My guess is there's no clear answer on that one.
Although getting clearer all the time, again,
But David, he just mentions, as if it's nothing, he's, well, Brian and Sherry, I mean, of course, remember, these are all people who are
Brian
first
Roberts,
name people because they're moguls.
Sherry Redstone, who's
right.
the chairman of...
But David, is that not somewhat
shoulder of Icon
a controversial in newsmaking that he just basically said?
Well, we know everybody has got to be thinking about what their next move is when it comes to this industry and the focus on the direct-to-consumer platforms, which, by the way, we should point out, guys, cost a fortune. I mean, they are extraordinarily expensive. Expensive for Disney, expensive for Discovery and or Warner Discovery, expensive for Viacom and Paramount. You know, what you give up, what you're not selling, what you're instead diverting to your own platform, the marketing expenses, the technology expenses.
Well,
they're
going
to have to figure out a way to cut a lot of this
right,
stuff. Because, Jim, you're going to be talking about earnings for these companies. You're going to be looking and going, what happened
okay,
to those
so
earnings?
How about this? Jeff Bukas, Time Warner, inexpensive stock, made a lot of money, fantastic, delivered quarter after quarter after quarter. And David, how much was destroyed of the value of what Jeff Bukas created?
What does that have to do with the price of Starbucks coffee or anything else we're talking about?
I just wanted to go on a rant there.
I mean, what do you, everything's got to come back. That's history. Let's focus on the future.
Well, I think that they did crunch a lot of value there.
They did. Nobody's arguing with you. You've been right.
Carl, did you hear that? I've been right. Oh, my. That's even better than all the Bitcoin that I took the house to buy the barn with. It wasn't a barn. It was a
It's a beautiful
barn.
Farmhouse.
Yeah, it's a horse farm, frankly. But
oh, man.
Horses
it gets
are
better
very expensive.
All the time, Carl. This place sounds better and better all the time.
Well, that's because Ethereum helped out.
We keep learning a little bit more about it day after day. Eventually, David, you and I are going to go down there and have a house party. We'll take a break. There's a ton of news, guys. We got Moderna saying their vaccine is safe for teens. A bunch of calls out today. Some good news from reopening stocks like airlines and live music. And we'll talk about how many new chip factories we may build in this country, at least what U.S. officials think when we come back.
One in eight. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. Who'll serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can help you grow from here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to McDonald's.
One in eight. Start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable, high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
Constructing a new fabrication plant takes a long time. It's a year to 2 year project. Equipping it with leading edge equipment takes a while, and then producing wafers takes a while as well. So these investments, as I was saying earlier, are needed to be sustainable over the years. The effort that goes into today, of course, will produce results in few years' time frame.
Mike Ron, Sanjay Mehrotra yesterday on Closing Bell, Jim, talking about the degree to which new funding would help build capacity stateside. Raimondo says 7 to 10 factories, maybe, over the long term.
Look, that would be unbelievable. It would pull us away from the most important political and geopolitical issue of our time, which is Taiwan. We cannot be as beholden to Taiwan. And as much as I think that Secretary Raimondo is definitely right to do this, David, the problem is the equipment. You get a Lam Research is really, to me, the most important company in this universe. David, only 8% of their equipment goes to us. And it's pretty much
us being what? The U.S.?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that you're going to have to break contracts that are not possible to be broken in order to get the machines that you need in that time frame. Remember, you can build a building, but you need the equipment that goes in it.
Right, of course. You need the chip-making manufacturing equipment.
Chip-making equipment. Look, that stuff is gigantic. You know, the size of an ASMLF machine is the size of a city bus. So you can't just like, hey, let's go make some of these.
Right.
And they're all working 24/7.
But you continue to be focused as well on China and Taiwan and what may or may not happen there.
in terms of the Chinese, worst case scenario, taking some form of aggressive action?
Taiwan Semi, which of course is in Taiwan, which is an ally of ours, has a board which doesn't necessarily look like a board that's heavily tilted toward America. David, these companies have to play ball with the PRC. They don't have any choice. Just kind of like the American companies, except for H&M, which is not an American company, which didn't play ball. And they're out. They're out. They're out as surely as...
H&M in China, you're talking
they're
about.
They're out, yeah.
Retailer.
Oh, yeah, they're not there. They've been excised, like Stalin used to take pictures and rub people out, you know, or send them to Vladivostok for the, you know, the water division. H&M, David, don't even think about it.
That was creepy. Guys, we'll take a break. There's a ton of calls to get to, including Okta, got some initiations of Adobe, Palo Alto, some downgrades of Domino's and upgrades of Shaq. We're back in a moment.
You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
A couple big movers pre-market. Lordstown's going to be one of them. You saw the news yesterday, perhaps, cutting their full-year production schedule basically in half, saying they're going to need a lot more capital to fund operations, and shares do look to open down better than 14%. We'll get that opening bell in just about 5.5 minutes.
All right, let's get to a mad dash and then to an opening bell, which is about 2.5 minutes from now. The Gap, you love coming back to The Gap.
Yeah, well, I've come to learn not to go against Kimberly Greenberger, who's a very, very good analyst at Morgan Stanley, and she has it all. She says it's likely that they're going to report an upside, a good number, definitely beat consensus, but it might not matter. And it reminds me that a lot of the retailers beat consensus, and only Target did it matter.
Where it went up.
Yes.
Where the stock reacted positively, at least, to what was certainly a positive quarter and usually pretty good guidance.
Yeah,
too.
And that's because Brian Cornell not only gave great guidance, but talked about how a private label's been winning, and that's where the big margins are. And he also, just frankly, it was one of the most confident conference calls where he did not say that the current month is worse.
Right.
But the current month was best.
Right, but Gap does look like it may open higher.
I disagree. I want to disagree with this call. I really want to.
Yeah, but again, we come back to the same theme, Jim, which is these stocks have had unbelievable moves over the last 12 months. I mean, years in which you'll never, ever see a year like that again.
True.
300%+.
Well, wait a second. When Mickey Drexler ran Gap,
yes,
it was a year after year after year.
It was.
There were people like you who always wanted to hop off.
That's not true.
But Mickey Drexler.
He created a good deal of value for quite a few years. But
so,
within those 10 years, I doubt they ever had a 300% move in the stock price.
Well, Carl.
In 1 year.
Carl, what we're seeing are incredible moves, and we really take it for granted. Or we look at Dogecoin or Dave, whatever coin you want to mention right now, a favorite coin. I'll go to Tether. I'll start a favorite coin.
Thank you.
But what I have to tell you, Carl, is he's right, that people just wrote off retail last year because of the pandemic, and retail turned out to be the place to be. It's really remarkable.
Yep. And all sorts of it's in apparel, Jim. The Journal's got this story about lipstick and makeup and goods that we're now looking at each other's faces. That's flying off the shelves.
And that's
so it's
why Estee Lauder, yesterday.
Yep.
You take your mask off, you discover I have a pimple right here. It's frankly something I'm glad I have a beard. David, I am Estee Lauder King. David.
There's the opening bell at the big board. It's Callaway Golf. And at the NASDAQ, it is Vimeo celebrating its spinoff from IAC. We're going to talk to the CEO of the video software platform in about 40 minutes. Jim, there's a couple other reopening pieces of news this morning. Live Nation, of course, talked to CNBC double digits over 2019 in terms of some of the large venue shows that they're booking. And then United and Alaska talking about more ticketed yields at, for Q2 so far running ahead of expectations.
Well, then we're just going to see Boeing have to get orders. There's just no choice. Boeing is going to be, I don't necessarily think this quarter, but the orders are going to be extraordinary. And it's the max. I mean, people just are, they're flying. They don't care. And we are going to see, I believe, Boeing have to raise numbers by the second half of the year. Not yet. But I think the orders are going to come from overseas. People want to travel. I think that the just like a lot of other industries completely misjudged, including the auto industry. David, I think that I don't think Boeing misjudged because they have a lot of inventory. But I think we all misjudge how much people want to travel.
Maybe. I mean, I think we all knew people would be anxious to get back out there when they were vaccinated and when
right.
things returned to normal and we're there. I mean, I think today we're going to pass 50% of the country being vaccinated.
Actually, positive. Yeah.
Yeah. Right, Carl?
Yeah, White House is saying that today's the day where you will get 50% of the country, I think, fully vaccinated. What's the other piece of metric on that? I'll get to more of that later. But yeah, today the U.S. will reach 50% of American adults.
Moderna with young people, Gottlieb talking about how, don't forget, so many people who got it and they have the antibodies. And I just think, no, herd immunity. But I really feel that I feel very confident when I go out. I hope everybody else does. Even to the Knicks game, I'm told that with the vaccine, you know, the people were very, very that it's easy to get to a Knicks game. 15,000.
Yeah, well,
people.
If you can figure out how to use the app to actually download your tickets to do, then you're good. But that could take. I'm not complaining. Very happy because I am. I'm going to be there tomorrow as well. So
you are
sure.
I don't have a ticket.
Got to root on my team.
How did you get a ticket?
I don't know. You know,
Carl, do you have tickets? I don't have tickets.
All right, enough. 15,000 people. That's the largest single crowd to see an NBA
you have
game
any Nets tickets
in
you give me?
15 months. No, not the Nets are. You're going to be able to watch them for quite some time. You've got a lot of games ahead of you for the Nets.
Yeah, they are pretty awesome.
Yeah, they're going to be going for a while.
Yeah,
one would expect.
Yeah.
Deep, as they say, very deep.
There you go. There's your ESPN moment, Carl. From
Thank you,
David Faber. None other than David Faber.
Yeah. Any word on Aaron Rodgers in that trade? Can we just keep going here?
Aaron Rodgers. What, someone tweeted this morning about Aaron from State Farm. Carl, that was great. I just love this stuff. How about JJ Julio? We didn't talk about Julio.
No.
It's hard to relate, but Chuck Robbins is a big Falcon fan, and he's down. There you go. See that mixture of stocks and jocks, David?
I love it. Perfect.
That's me. Stocks
Perfect.
And jocks.
All right, back to
David.
Back,
how about Lordstown?
Back to stocks. Yes, Lordstown's down 18%. It's not a company unfamiliar to us. Of course, you've had the CEO on Mad Money.
Yeah,
And you've questioned some of their projections in the past.
Well, see, that's because,
and I think that was probably prudent of you.
That's because I have what's called a brain, and sometimes if you engage it, it produces remarkable things.
Well, they are very proud to have built 48 out of 57 beta vehicles.
Oh.
So, and
but how about the fact that they need more money?
Program by the end of June.
Hey.
Oh, the need more money part. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
That makes things a little tougher, doesn't it?
True.
What are your thoughts?
Morgan Stanley's out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jonas has reiterates his underweight. While there is some glimmer of strategic value, Jim, he says, we believe investors are exposed to outsized company and market risk. Target to 8.
Jonas, target 8. No,
that's where it is. There it is.
Jonas is right. He's been right the whole way. I mean, this is one that is Steve Burns. You know, this is one that gives this industry kind of a mixed reputation. The EV plays, Carl, are all really tiresome. Yesterday there was a lockup expiration for QuantumScape, Jagdeep. And they traded a lot, David.
Romeo Power well below. It's well below, of course, was a SPAC well below 10. Lordstown well below. Although Lordstown was, forget it.
Lordstown was so exciting,
was that
David.
Yeah.
It had the promise.
Nikola, of course, one of those early SPACs. Remember that stock going up as high as, what, in the 80s or 90s? There's QuantumScape, of course, big battery maker. We talk a lot about it.
Yeah.
You want to just stay away from the sector for a while? Is that sort of?
Yeah, a pause.
The speculation has left the building.
I think so. Hard pass, David.
Yeah.
Hard pass.
Hard pass. Okay.
Oh, look at that. We have a whole list of them. Yeah. Romeo Power.
Yeah.
Where Art Thou on the new low list? Fisker making a comeback.
Making a comeback. Hey, by the way, on SPACs, I don't know if you saw, it's a small deal, but I know somebody involved with it, so they pointed it out. There's some
Churchill?
Legato. It's a SPAC. They're doing something called Aloma Steel. I mention it because it's the opposite of every SPAC deal. Remember the projections, 7x 2026 yeah. revenues? These guys are taking this thing public at 1.9x adjusted EBITDA this year.
Well,
of course, it is the third largest steel company in Canada.
Cleveland Cliffs is ready.
It's still below, by the way. It's $10. I mean, these things.
What's the PE of Cleveland Cliffs right now?
I have no idea.
4.
Really?
Yeah.
4.
4.
Yeah. What should it be?
Probably about 10.
Mm.
Remember, look at Nucor. Carl, Nucor is, of course, the number one performing stock in the New York Stock Exchange,
yep.
and it is selling at 8x earnings. That is ridiculous. Nucor has always had 2 to 3 year cycles. Not 2 to 3 minutes. Nucor is still a buy. It is crazy that it sells at 8x next year. Crazy. Or you can go buy Ethereum and, you know, whatever.
Jim, it does sort of remind me about the infrastructure question. Politico's got a piece out today saying that talks between Republicans and Democrats are, quote, near collapse. That Republicans are mulling whether to even make a counteroffer to the White House. Democrats increasingly calling for Biden to go it alone. And we've been talking about that. We would know one way or the other what the Democratic strategy would be by Memorial Day. But this is not exactly constructive. I mean, to what degree is that a liability for Steel Names or Caterpillar or URI or anything else?
Well, yeah, I wrote New York Magazine a scathing piece about these talks. Caterpillar says they need it okay. Yesterday, I had Martin Marietta Materials, the largest paver. They're okay without it, frankly. They could, you know, would like to have some. Deere okay without it. The steel companies okay without it because of the tariffs. Aluminum okay without it because of the tariffs. So it's if you bought Deere because of it, you're up a lot anyway. David, I mean, these companies have such they have such momentum, they don't need infra.
They don't.
No, they don't. They have momentum.
I understand that they do. Yes, I know you've mentioned that.
Well, you want me to talk about AT&T?
I don't. I really don't. I'm begging you. Don't talk anymore about
AT&T. Well, then why can't I talk about the fact that all these guys
I'd love you to talk about, because we haven't this morning, is GM and Ford, both of which are up sharply and well above the market.
Are you worried about commodity costs at Ford?
And Tesla's actually down a bit, but adding to what are their sizable gains this year, GM is up almost 39% for the year. And Ford, which has been a favorite of yours, up 51%.
I do worry about commodity costs, but
yes.
I think that Jim Farley, Carl, Jim Farley is the modern day CEO. Now, does he challenges Musk, which everyone else is afraid to do. He says he's got the cars. No one can get a Bronco. I'm trying to get an EV150. Good luck. This guy's got the cars that people want and the trucks that people want. And he is willing to challenge Musk, Carl, on the Cybertruck. He is not backing away. He is feisty. He is cool. And it's everything that I thought that Ford wasn't. How did he get that job, man? He'd be the man. He is just unbelievable. And those who doubt him, he's going to run him over. Remember what he said to President Biden?
Floor it.
Floor it.
And he did.
Floor it.
Floor it.
Floor it.
The previous Ford guy would have said, be careful of the cabinets. Right? Cabinets. He's a good cabinet.
Yeah.
Those cabinets were so good.
I thought it was interesting a few days ago when Musk himself replied to Farley on Twitter saying, congrats on the Lightning, Jim. And yeah. I love this tidbit in the Atlantic that the Lightning can store so much power that in a blackout it can supply a house's normal power usage for 3 days.
Oh, it's
and if the
real
house
deal.
Conserves power, it can keep the lights on for more than a week.
Yeah,
so it's being marketed as more than a vehicle.
That's amazing. I didn't.
Why
it can
do
become
you think
your
I'm
generator?
So enamored of this?
You can actually. So
it's like a generator.
If your house is getting hit by constantly by blackouts, which happens a lot in the summer these days.
It's gorgeous. It helps small business. You can get a lot of things to make it so that you can do the route with small business.
That alone, just the 3 days,
David,
being able.
David, yeah. It's so real. You've got to focus on it.
I do.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, Carl, I got to focus on it.
You got to focus on it. You got to get bigger.
I'll be driving my F-150 Lightning down to the New York Stock Exchange. Will they have a parking space for me right there?
You make fun.
I'll pick up Carl and we'll head down.
It's America's car.
You can't say it.
I think I'm on your way.
Yeah. You can't get a Bronco, Carl. Broncos are sold out. Can't get a Bronco.
No. Yeah.
I mean, this guy named Farley. You're probably confusing him with his late cousin. You just went right over there.
Chris
right
Farley,
right?
We know. All right. The financials are also having a very strong morning, guys. Want to point that out as
you
well.
You think it's more important than what we're talking about?
Well, we've talked a lot about it, and our viewers know how you feel about Mr. Farley and Ford. Okay. And I'm just trying to, yes, I am trying to pivot to another part of the market that
is
up.
Let's focus on J.P. Morgan. Let's focus on J.P.
Wow. Thank you. Yes, see
wow.
that? See?
Holy cow. David is onto something. Carl, this group has erupted with pleasure. Look at Goldman Sachs. Meanwhile, Gorman just keeps going up, even though he shuffling the deck there.
Gorman, we always, what is it, anthropomorphize? Yeah, companies, they become people. Morgan Stanley is not Morgan Stanley, it's Gorman.
But if you notice, unlike the moguls, unlike the moguls that David talks about, it's last names.
Right, it's last names.
It's last names.
Jamie. Yeah. Solomon. You go with Jamie, though. You don't go with Diamond.
Oh, well, Jamie, that's like, sure, you can't get there. He's a Hall of Fame first namer.
Although, Carl? Jim, Gorman did say in an interview that he thinks the Fed taper happens later this year with the first rate hike early next year, which is above most, or ahead of most forecasts.
Well, look, I think that one of the things that Jamie is thinking right now is, well, why did I say that? That's not what I do. So, Jamie, Gorman. So I'm going to let Gorman take that back. I'm going to let Gorman have a do-over. he doesn't usually make those things, David. So he's going to say he's taken out of context.
Okay. I haven't talked to James in a while.
No?
If he's out there, nice to see you, James. Good job on keeping your job for another 3+ years as you set up another competition for who's going to succeed.
Well, when you make as much money he has and does such a good job, he deserves it.
He can stay as long as he wants.
By the way, his work to get younger people, Carl, is extraordinary. All we ever do is talk about the Robin Hoodies. He's got a very informed group of people when he made that acquisition.
E-Trade, you're talking
yes.
about. Yes.
And I think that was...
That's Morgan Stanley. J.P. Morgan is what we're looking at right here. But Morgan Stanley is outpacing that. Although they are all are up substantially for the year. And, of course, your old favorite, Wells Fargo, is up the most.
I'm not backing away from Wells Fargo. I know. I think Wells Fargo is Charlie Scharf.
Yes.
He's going to be able to return the most capital after CCAR.
Right. Which is actually soon, fairly soon.
End of the month.
Yeah.
End of the month of June.
Right.
Carl, I've got to tell you, Wells Fargo, quietly, Charlie Scharf, who says absolutely nothing. We call him Charlie in the business. He is just quietly making that bank into what we remember it as, except for it's with not with Warren Buffett, who bailed.
Mm. All of it.
I had Bank of America on last week. I've got to tell you, you couldn't get a more positive read on things than mine. Look at that. Moynihan. There's a 52-week high, David. David?
Jim?
14 times earnings, David.
Carl?
No, you guys are right. Financials, actually all five of the S&P leaders are either cruise lines or airlines, and the NASDAQ has cut its May loss to less than 2%. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Hey, Bob.
Good morning, guys. We're in the middle of a modest melt-up in the last 3 or 4 days. The Dow's up almost 1,000 points in 4 days, and we are 15, 20 points from a historic high on the S&P. That's right, historic high, because the rally is broadening out. It's not just tech stocks. So take a look at the sectors, and right on the banks, we have some modest new highs here, not a lot. Citigroup, Morgan Stanley, new high, but retail's doing better. Consumer discretionary, there's your reopening story there. A lot of the travel names are all in the consumer discretionary group. Retail's been strong, too. The banks are in the financials, of course. They're the biggest sector in financials. Staples and defensive group are lagging today. Take a look at the travel and entertainment. As I mentioned, generally a good 3 or 4 days for these travel and entertainment stocks. They're moving. Penn National's not had a good month, but it's up today. Expedia's doing well on top of that. I want to emphasize that we've got a little bit of a global rally going on. Europe is on a tear. The Stock 600, which is the S&P 500 of Europe, essentially, this is a historic high right here. And we've got new highs in Spain, new highs in France, a new high in Germany as well. So Europe is really partaking in that reopening story that we've seen here. So why are we getting a rally? The most important thing, last 3 or 4 days, bond yields moderating. Some people are starting to believe that the Fed may be able to communicate this whole tapering story properly. And if they can, the bulls are saying we can get to the other side. We don't have to have a taper tantrum. Maybe. It's very early. But the earnings are still rising. Not only Q1 is great, but they're raising Q2 and Q3 very aggressively right now. That's a big help. And finally, you know, modest at best tax hikes. We're not going to see the end of that story for a while, but it's still out there. The bulls got the ascendancy right now. The bears still have the peak everything story out there. But if you can moderate that story about a taper tantrum and get to the other side, Fed holds your hand through the next few months, the bulls may get the upper hand again on this story here. It's a broad rally. How broad is it? Look at this. This is the RSP, which is the equal weight S&P 500. Everything's the same weight, unlike the S&P, which is market cap weighted. That's the orange one on the bottom here, the market cap weighted. The RSP is the white line there. You see the outperformance? The equal weight is up 18% this year. The market cap weight, the one we talk about, the S&P, is up 12%. What's the difference? In February, the reopening story happened. So all the tech stocks, well, they didn't necessarily go down, but everything else started going up along with a lot of the tech stocks. And that's been the big story, the broadening of the rally. Lots of stocks participating in the overall move to the upside, including, of course, not just travel stocks, but the reopening stocks in general, including the big material stocks. And we continue to have this nice rally in the material names. You see this, the big moves up here, Nucor, Schlumberger, Halliburton, Dow, Freeport-McMoRan up 11%. I mean, look at these moves to the upside. This is just in May. So that commodity story is not necessarily dead. Just want to point out there is an ETF of that, folks. INFL was started a few months ago just to capitalize on that whole craze towards the inflation story. You can see that's just off a new high. Always an ETF or something in the thematics there. Carl, back to you.
Bob, thanks. Bob Pisani. Of course, a lot of what Bob was talking about, this little melt-up here, is due to some dovish Fed talk. Let's get to Rick.
You know, Carl, it is so interesting to really dig down into what you're saying and what Bob is saying. So let me get this straight. 2 weeks ago, we settled a 10-year note yield at 162. Today, we're dribbling down, as you see on the 2-week chart, we're down at 158. So we're down 2 basis points. We've had just weeks and weeks of closing in the 160s. So several basis points and ongoing. We promise, Scout's honor, we're not going to raise rates or taper without giving you months and months of guidance. All of that is creating this rally. I don't buy it. I really do think that the reopening trade has a little vinegar left in it. And I do think that central banks aren't necessarily the friend of any market these days. But the fact that they're in the driveway warming up the car for us, even though they have no idea when they're going to have to put it in drive and floor it to get out of easy money policy. I know that we were talking about various bank, Gorman, for example, potentially seeing a taper at the end of this year. I'm with him. Now, let's look at a month-to-date of tens and boons. Even though boons seem to have gotten a little more aggressive, you can see they both are turning. As a matter of fact, all sovereigns are turning, and I'm not so sure it's only central banks. I think there's so much debt and liquidity flying around out there that those are the things you really need to pay attention to if you want to know why markets are moving the way they are. Now, let's talk China, shall we? Whether you look at the onshore or the offshore, here's the Chinese currency on top of the chart going all the way back, both of them, onshore and offshore, going back basically to when? 2018, the summer of 2018? Because the dollar's at the weakest level since then. And it isn't only there. Look at the dollar versus Canada. And there's a lot of issues there with the currencies regarding commodity economies. But that's at the lowest level in 6 years. And finally, the dollar index just on its own, the lowest since January, but close to the lowest level since 2018. Carl, Jim, David, back to you.
All right, Rick. Thank you very much, Rick Santelli. So Dow's going for a fourth day higher here, and the S&P still holding 4,200, just a few points above. More Squawk on the Street continues in a minute. As we go to break this morning, a reminder in honor of Mark Haynes, we're auctioning off an NFT of his famous Haynes Bottom moment when he called the low in the S&P 500 in 2009. All proceeds will go to charity. To bid, go to mintable.app/CNBC. Ends tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. We'll be right back. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
Okay, we got to talk about Coinbase. I mean, everyone's trying to figure out what Coinbase is worth. JP Morgan puts out a piece on overweight rating, basically saying it's early. You got a crypto economy early in the life cycle. Coinbase has growth opportunities and further building its base. I like this piece, but it has meant absolutely nothing to the stock, where there was a lot of insider selling at the beginning. A lot of people have been locked up for a long time. I want to contrast this with Roblox, which had people selling, but it's just been on fire. I think this could turn the corner on Coinbase. I do. I think that it may be done going down, which is really something.
Interesting. How about hiring Goldman's co-head of government affairs as chief policy officer? Also interesting, Jim. How about tonight?
Tonight? I've got to tell you, I've got a very controversial pot stock. I refuse to call it Canada. Grow Generation. It just shot the lights out, and the stock is not up, even though many states are actually making it so that you can grow cannabis. And by the way, if you grow cannabis, you grow it carefully, it's a fantastic cash crop. One of the reasons why I bought the lithium and the ethereum and the lithium and the...
You're going to grow cannabis in your farm?
It's illegal.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. I'm going to grow hothouse tomatoes, David. Jersey beefsteaks.
Nice.
We'll see at 6, Jim.
Creepy.
It was quite an hour. Bad Money with Jim Cramer tonight at 6 p.m.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.